I'm going to indulge slightly right at the very beginning of our service this morning. I'm not going to go for Psalm 145. I want us to start by singing from Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and it's the second version of the psalm. An affirmation of the Lord's help in their situation. The one same affirmation we take for ourselves today as we close one year and as we go into the next. Drawing on the testimony of the Lord from the past as our encouragement for the future. So we begin our service this morning by singing from Psalm 124. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our rights sustained when cruel men against us furiously rose up in wrath to make of us their prey, then certainly they had devoured us all and swallowed quick for aught that we could deem. Such was their rage as we might well esteem. And as fierce floods before them all things drowned, so had they brought our soul to death quite down. The raging streams with their proud swelling waves had then our soul overwhelmed in the deep. But blessed be God who doth us safely keep, and hath not given us for a living prey unto their teeth and bloody cruelty. Even as a bird out of the fowler's snare escapes away, so is our soul set free. Broke are their nets, and thus escaped we. Therefore our help is in the Lord's great name, who heaven and earth by his great power did frame. Psalm 124, second version. Now Israel may say, and that truly. Let us now call on the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. O Lord, our gracious God, grant unto each one of us the tuning of our hearts to the very sentiment of these words we sung together as we come before thee. Help us, Lord, to be stilled as we look back and reflect upon a past year, and to be able to say that, yes, indeed, the Lord has helped us, each one of us with our different set of circumstances, different experiences we've had to go through, face and overcome. But out of them all, we all of us have that same consistent testimony that indeed thou hast been the help of thy people in ages past. Thou hast been our help in days gone by. And so, Lord, we gather together here to bear a public testimony to such constancy of thought towards thy people. Not only for the physical good things we've received day after day, but especially, O Lord, we raise our testimony to the spiritual goodness, the things that have enriched our souls, the intrusion and the breaking in of eternal and spiritual realities into our life, the way in which thou hast laid thine hand upon us and drawn away from the entanglements of this world, focusing our thoughts upon things that are good and profitable to us concerning thyself and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send into this world to be the Redeemer of his people. Lord, we bless thee for that sheer delight thou hast fostered and matured and developed in the soul of thy people, bringing us this morning together to meet with thyself. And as we look back and bear testimony through all of the perplexing paths of life, so, Lord, may we hold on to that same lesson, that conclusion that we've come to as we look forward to the days and the year now stretching before us. Gracious Lord and God, the best that we can do is commit ourselves to thee and to thy keeping. And so we gathered for that purpose. And we pray that thou wouldst come in with us and meet with us, not only blessing to us our meditations upon thy word to fortify and to strengthen our souls, but Lord also that thou wouldst listen and pick up on the very personal and private dealings from our heart with thyself. We know, O Lord, the way in which each one of us we can speak privately with thee. We can make undertakings and give commitments. And all these things might not be heard by anyone else but thyself. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst hear these things and that we might be held to them in the days of this year to come. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come in with us. May thy blessing be upon each and every soul as we gather before thee. The homes we have come from and the people that we hold near and dear to us, that we would embrace in the words of our prayers and bring before thee at the throne of grace. We can look back and see for many of us in times past, sad times, hard times, when there has been the visitation of illness and sickness and even of death itself. But we thank thee, O Lord, for the way in which thou art the comfort and consolation of thy people. And thou hast proclaimed victory over that ultimate enemy itself. We thank thee, O Lord, for that word of hope in thy word. And we pray, O God, that whatever be our circumstance this morning, that thou wouldst meet with us at this very point of our need. But not only do we pray for ourselves and our loved ones that we hold in the circle of blood, we pray also, Lord, for the wider circle of the congregation and our own community. And we ask of thee that thou wouldst meet with each one of us and others who would gather with us who are not able to be with us here this morning. Wherever their lot is cast, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be to them a little sanctuary. They may not be able to venture out. Old age or sickness might be holding them and constraining them. But we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with them where they be. We know not what a day might hold. We know not how much time we've got left. All we can say is that our breath is in thine hand. And so, Lord, we pray that all of us might be aware of how dependent upon thee we truly are. And we ask of thee that thou wouldst bring home to us eternal truths and realities, that the complacency that this world might cultivate and present so powerfully before us might be overthrown, put to one side by the far more important and urgent matters concerning our soul. Come in with us, O Lord, as we engage in thy work this year to come. We would do so, Lord, seeking the salvation of Israel and the gathering in of thy people, even of thy sheep. We pray thy blessing upon the proclamation of thy word, that they would hear thy voice and respond to that call. We pray, Lord, for a defense of thy truth at the hands of thy people, that we might be able to speak, "Thus says the Lord," to our nation and to our folk, where they see so much drifting and so much incorporation of things that are plainly and clearly condemned by thy truth. And we pray, Lord, that thou would raise up those who fear thee and who obey thee, not only of thy professing people, refining that profession and focusing it upon thyself, but also, Lord, leadership in our land, in the church and in politics and business, in so many different areas where people are in the public eye. Our prayer, Lord, is that there would be those that know thee and that they would stand for what thou hast set before us in thy word. And again, as a nation and as a people, we might know the good and solid foundation, not of political agendas, not of party principles or ethos, but that we might know once again that plain and simple teaching of thy word requiring us to obey thee and follow thee. May thy blessing be upon us, each one then this morning, and our nation and our people. And we pray that we might indeed know of thy pleasure, thy presence with us in these days to come. Hear us, Lord, stoop and catch the cry of our hearts and answer these our prayers beyond the measure of our asking, as we ask it in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading this morning is from the New Testament and the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles in chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked, for he was by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, that should be pressed in the word, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen, and may God add his blessing to that reading of his own holy and inspired word. And we continue our worship singing, this time from the words of Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and from the beginning of that psalm. The security the psalmist speaks of that belongs to the Lord's people, even down to our own day today. He that doth in the secret place of the Most High reside, under the shade of him that is the Almighty shall abide. I of the Lord my God will say, he is my refuge still. He is my fortress and my God, and in him trust I will. Assuredly he shall thee save and give deliverance from subtle fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. His feathers shall thee hide. Thy trust under his wings shall be. His faithfulness shall be a shield and buckler unto thee. Thou shalt not need to be afraid for terrors of the night, nor for the arrow that doth fly by day while it is light. Psalm 91 then, these five stanzas from the beginning. He that doth in the secret place. This morning, as we come into the new year, I want to leave with you just one simple phrase and thought. We can take it, we can turn it round, we can hold it tight as we think of it just now and as we would apply it in year to come. The simple phrase, God is with us. We saw it and we read of it and we heard of it in the testimony that Paul gives us there in the book of Acts, chapter 18. That vision, these words, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Over the past week, we have heard that same sentiment come to us in a different form and under a different word. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And I simply want to hold on to that word and that explanation and meaning as we gather together here this morning. God with us. It has so many different faces we can look at. The one up till now has been the Lord with us to effect salvation and to bring about deliverance, to obtain pardon and to bestow it upon his people, to give them a hope, to give them peace, to give them pardon. But now that that has passed, we move forward to the new year. We've got to go into 2016. And I want to take that same sentiment. The presence of the Lord with his church and with his people. That sentiment is something precious, comforting, and encouraging. And all I want to do this morning, very briefly, is to look at three different applications of that sentiment for ourselves. Three different situations where that phrase occurs and we can take it, appropriate it, apply it to ourselves. Three very, very different groups of people addressed. If we can put it, we're looking in through different windows, different texts, where light is brought to bear on different groups of people. But for every one of us, this word has something to say to us all. First of all, I want us to think of the future that is unknown as we look into 2016. Secondly, I want us to think of the work that has to be done in 2016. And then I want to address delays and obstacles that have to be overcome in 2016. And for each of these different situations, I want us to think of this simple phrase, God is with us. First of all then, we have that phrase I said, the future is unknown. The very familiar words given to us in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 41. And at verse 10, they read us as follows. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yes, I will help thee, yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We've already seen in the words that he spoke, the Lord spoke to Paul, we have it here as well. The Lord saying this often to his people, fear not. It's a command and encouragement that he gives to every one of his people, but he never gives it without undergirding it and putting it upon a firm foundation as to why we should not fear. Fear not. Why? For I am with you. So Isaiah chapter 41, and to grasp hold of the application and to appreciate it to ourselves, we've got to first of all try to understand the international situation that was developing behind and around Isaiah chapter 41. If you read it again at leisure, you'll find that the Lord is stirring up a mighty ruler. He's raising up a righteous man from the east, we're told, who's going to be a mighty conqueror of God's people. He's going to advance against not only Israel, but against many different nations. We're told that his coming is like the dust being blown in the wind as the stubble. That's the way in which he's going to come, in a mighty way that nobody is going to mistake. But in these words, we are told it is the Lord who has done it. I have raised this person up. And so therefore, we come first of all in chapter 41, and there's consternation. There's confusion on a wide scale. The islands saw it and they were feared. They were trembling at the prospect of what was going to happen. There were these great unknown things that were confronting them and were coming closer with the dust of the day's journey of their chariots. They tried to help each other. They tried to support each other. They turned to their idols and they made fresh commitments of their idols. And the carpenter and the man that worked with the metals, they were diligent in making them so that the people could turn to these idols in all of their need. But we know that there was no help to be obtained there. Idols are but constructs of men's hands, both deaf and dumb. Yes, there was no help at all. The future was unknown. There was this mighty change to come, and there was consternation at that prospect. And they were afraid. But the Christian is different. There's no place for that terror. There is no place for that confusion. Simply because the Christian knows the Lord. We know not what this year might hold for any one of us. We know not what it might hold for us as a nation and as a people. We can see and pick up the possibility of changes in so many different departments and areas of life. We've already seen from 2008 the changes that were brought about with the banking and financial. There's an emphasis changing onto the environmental effects with the changes in the weather patterns. There is the resurgence of terrorism and the IS, the Daesh influences in Syria. There are so many different possibilities for this 2016. We don't know what it will bring. We can hint at these things. There might be something altogether surprising going to come upon us in our own politics, in our own land, with referenda and such like spoken about. The future is unknown. But we can all say, if we know the Lord, my times are in his hands. And although there might be an unknown quality of the future, we can still nevertheless say, as we're told here, God speaks to his people in the midst of all of this terror and consternation at the future and what was coming upon them very quickly. The Lord says to them, fear not, for I am with you. And we've said it before, the way in which this is placed and put in the Hebrew is very emphatic. It says, with you, I am. With you, I am. The Lord emphasizing his presence with his people. He's not at a distance from the believer. He's not at a distance from the church. He's not at a distance separate from you and I. The Lord will guide us through all the days of this year that are now going to unfold before us. Problems that will arise, whatever scale these problems might be, whatever distraction they might bring upon us initially, they can come upon us and they can sow the seeds of doubt with us. They can even come more robustly before us than we might think. When all these problems bear down upon us, God has forgotten us. And we've got to remind ourselves and speak with ourselves, not only that phrase, my times are in his hands, but we can also go to very similar things that are said to us, even in these words of Isaiah the prophet. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should have not compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, that is possible. It is possible for a mother, with the symbol of devotion, it is possible for a mother to forsake or neglect her child. But that doesn't apply to God. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So therefore we have, as we face the future, this assurance, God is with us. Not only the assurance of his presence, but as he comes and he meets with us, goes with us, travels with us along the path of life, he brings with him all the fullness of his character and of his resources. When God says, with you, I am, there is a simple conclusion that we can come to for our comfort, that when he meets with his people and travels with us, his wisdom, his power, his strength are also there, deployed and available for his people. He is there to protect. He is there to provide. In the past year, 2015, we can talk with our souls and engage our memory, and we can perhaps remind ourselves of the loving kindnesses the Lord has demonstrated and shown to us. Time after time we've been in a tight corner, backs against the wall. Time after time we've been in a difficult place, and time after time we've tested the loving kindness of the Lord, and there's been that constancy of his character and his dealings with us. We've lacked nothing. And as that has been our testimony in the past, so it is an encouragement as we face the future. He says to us, very simply, three things. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am thy God. And what will I do for you? I will strengthen you. There are going to be demands coming upon us. We might know nothing of them yet, but there will be demands, and the Lord says, I'll strengthen you when these demands come. I will help you. We can be weak. We can be simply overwhelmed. And the Lord says, I will sustain you and I will keep you from stumbling. He says, I will uphold you. I will uphold you and be with you in your need. It's not a foolish thing to pray to the Lord, to ask for his help. Today, prayer is put down by our society as the last option possible. They'll exhaust all others before they think of that. But for the believer, it's the first option we engage in. And the Lord says, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. The Lord is with his people. I like the illustration of the sheep's wool and the way in which in olden days they would sit down and they would card it, they would tease it out, and they would get the strands running in the same direction. Then they would spin it to make it into a thread, and the thread would be made into a garment, and the garment would be robust and be useful in so many different areas of life. What are we doing here? We are taking the truths that God has given us, the revelations that he's given of himself, and we're getting them all in a line, and we're twisting them all together. And it comes to this one simple truth: God is with us. And we take that truth with us out into this new year, the future that's unknown. But whatever it does have for us, there is this emphasis that we have at the beginning of it: with you, I am. So that's the first thing. The future is unknown, but God is with us. But the second thing I said was, from our reading there in the book of Acts, there is work to be done. Acts chapter 18, and that vision the Lord had with Paul. Speaking to Paul, he says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And again, to get the application of it to ourselves and the comfort of it, we need to stand beside Paul. We need to be in his sandals. We need to be in his situation to appreciate what these words mean and how we can take them to us today. Paul is in Corinth when he wrote these words. But here in Corinth, he was concerned for the young church. This was a great mission cycle that he was on. Just going back to chapter 17. Paul was in Thessalonica. And he'd been preaching there, and there was a mighty work achieved. But it was opposed by the Jews. They were absolutely fuming at Paul. They went as far as raising false witnesses to go for his reputation, to spoil the work. There was, we're told, uproar in the city. What happened was, they had to take Paul out of the city by nighttime, and he went to the place called Berea. There Paul was working, but it wasn't long before the Jews got wind of where he was, and they followed him there and did the same to him in Berea. And Paul had to go from there to Athens. We're told there in chapter 17 the way in which he waited in Athens for others to follow and catch up with him. But eventually he left Athens, and we're told in chapter 18 that he came to Corinth. He left Silas and Timothy with the Thessalonians, that he might then, they would catch up with him, they would report back to him how they were coping with this tumult and uproar that came upon his ministry there. And when we come to chapter 18 and verse 5, we're told, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. The word means Paul was pressed in the word. He heard a good report, and the distractions fell from him, and therefore he was now applying himself wholly and solely to preaching and to making known this word and making it known in Corinth. There was great opposition for that work in Corinth. And Paul says, I'm going to leave you and I'm turning to the Gentiles. When they opposed him, we're told in verse 6, they blasphemed. He shook his garment and said to them, your blood is upon your own heads. I'm off. Quite a remarkable response. Must have been provoked by quite remarkable circumstances. Paul was concerned then, in Corinth, if he stayed any longer, he would bring upon those believers in Corinth the same that happened in Thessalonica. That same kind of uproar in Thessalonica was going to be repeated here in Corinth. And Paul was concerned for their ability in Corinth to cope. Would they stand? What effect would it have upon them? That's what he was afraid of. And the Lord meets him and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is a work to be done. The Lord says to Paul, don't hold your peace. Speak out. Don't adjust the way you're working. Don't adjust what you're saying. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. Paul later on in Timothy, addressing Timothy, says, preach the word, be in season and out of season. Sometimes you feel like it, sometimes you don't. That's got nothing to do with the matter. Keep on speaking and making it known. The option that he would have is, well, if I tone down the message a little, I'll protect the people in Corinth. I'll reduce the opposition. And the Lord says, don't do that. And what's the reason that he says it? Don't be afraid. Don't hold your peace. Why? Because I am with you. Again, we're reminded of the great commission which the Lord gave to the church at the very end of Matthew chapter 28. He says, go and make disciples of all peoples, and I am with you in that work. We're never alone as we work for the Lord. There's always that assurance and there's always that encouragement that the Lord is with us. For Paul, for the church in Corinth, for us in Fort William. Small as our circle of labour might be, individual contacts here and there, but this is the work we're engaged in, and this is the encouragement we have. The work is to be done. God is with us. A totally different window from the first one. All the more challenging it is today. There is a growing ignorance, there's a growing delusion, there's a growing comfort with everything that's available round about. People are settling back and there's a complacency developing more and more amongst ourselves. And when we speak against it, there's great opposition comes. And there's always this temptation like Paul had. Well, if we're going to survive, we better tone down things. And the Lord says, no. Speak in his name and deliver his message. And to engage in that work, we need to take what Paul has given here and cultivate it for ourselves. Feed it to strengthen us in this year to come. The Lord is with us as we work for him. Paul, no doubt, would have been aware of that encouragement given in Matthew chapter 28. He would have known it. But again, again, we see perhaps the need for him for ourselves. Our minds can be full of gospel truth. We know our Bibles. We know these truths. We know them in our memory. But there are times of need. There are times of danger. There's times of special circumstances that come to you and me. When we're in the work, when we're engaged in witnessing or laboring for the Lord, when sometimes there's a problem develops and there's opposition comes our way, sometimes we've got to go back to what we know and to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it to ourselves for our own good. The Lord is with Paul. No man's going to hurt him. No man's going to threaten him and bring disaster upon him. There is this assurance given that Paul is going to survive. But it's not just simply survival. That's not the sum and substance. That's not the exhausting what the Lord is saying to Paul. There's something else given to us here. Yes, don't be afraid. Speak, hold not thy peace, for I'm with you. Is that the end of it? There's another element to this foundation. He says, for I have much people in this city. There are many people yet to be brought in to the faith. Yes, for confidence. Yes, for survival. But also we need the Lord's presence with us for success. Whatever be the scale of the work, be it on the scale of Paul, be it on our own small or narrower circle, it is only the Lord that is going to bring success. We can try every kind of different approach. We can try every kind of different option. We can try all of these things. But the one thing that we've got to get back to, the old ways, the ABC, the one truth we've got to keep on reminding and presenting before ourselves, the one thing we've got to cultivate and feed, God's presence with us. For that and that alone will bring us success. Remember what the Lord himself said. He said in John chapter 10, I have much sheep, many more sheep yet to be gathered in. And they will hear the Master's voice and they will follow him. We need his presence with us for this work, for protection, for evangelism. The work that has to be done. Let me just slip in one further illustration here before we move on. Jeremiah had a hard time as a prophet. Jeremiah was through difficulty. He was put in a pit, thrown to the bottom of a well in the mud and the mire, left to die. He was put in the stocks. He had a hard time of it. So much so that later on in chapter 20 and verse 7, he turns to the Lord and he says to the Lord, you deceived me. You deceived me when you called me into this ministry. Look at what I've got to go through. And the Lord says, no. Right at the very beginning of the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord is calling him and he says to him, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Right from the very moment of his conception, the Lord was interested and involved in Jeremiah. That's a kind of encouragement. What a tremendous encouragement that would be for him. But then he goes on and he says this. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. The Lord was to be with him in his ministry. I am with you. The work to be done. Yes, he's not going to be spared any of these hard, rocky roads. He's not going to be spared any of these difficult, trying, testing times. But the Lord says, I'm with you, and I'll take you through them. And it all happened simply because the Lord was with him. So that's one window. Two windows we've now looked through. The future is unknown. Another one, the work of the church. The work has to be done. One last window we're going to look through with the same truth. There's delays and obstacles that have to be overcome. Now, we've spoken about Paul there and the work in Corinth and the way in which he had to get on with it. It's not always as smooth as that. It's not always as easy as that. Let's turn to the prophet Haggai this time. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4. And we're going to explain them in a minute. But let's again put the context, get the application. The people had come back from exile. And they had come back to start building the temple. But the work stopped. For 15 years, the pause button had been pressed. They had said in verse 2 of chapter 1, "This people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Let's wait for more profitable, more acceptable situations. Let's wait for better days." And Haggai challenges the people. He says, "Consider your ways. Just for a moment, think of what's happening to you. You've sown a lot and you've gathered a little. You've got clothes on your back, but you're not warm. You're earning your wages, but inflation is stealing them from you. Just think for a moment of why all that is happening to you." Haggai spoke a word, plain and simple, that hit the soul. Spiritual challenge presented then. Spiritual challenge presented now. A different window. There's a spiritual work that has been neglected. There's a spiritual work that has been neglected. There's been delays. There's been obstacles that have to be overcome, have to be addressed. Up till now, the people had continued, or they had continued to reject and to defer from what God is saying. We've spoke to about Jeremiah just a moment ago. Jeremiah had these words to speak to these people. "I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice." That's their problem. God had been speaking to them, calling them to him. God has been speaking to us, calling us to him. Different window, different group, different people. Three windows we're looking through. But one group addressed by these words. A spiritual challenge in your life. A spiritual challenge to ourselves. That's what Haggai was bringing to the people. They had been through years when the Lord was correcting them, but eventually they learned what the Lord was saying to them. Chapter 1, verse 12. "Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people," what did they do? "They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord." They had started, and they turned, and they repented, and they obeyed the Lord. Not only did they obey him, but they feared him. There was no longer that defiant opposition. Let's challenge what the Lord is saying. Let's defy him. Let's take God on. The thinking we find today with some people. But now they bow their head, and they obeyed, and they feared. They came to the point when the Lord speaking to them about spiritual things, spiritual issues, that they had neglected and put to the side for so long. Now they obeyed him. These were not just ordinary words. It's not just ordinary words that God spoke through Haggai to these people. It's not ordinary words that God speaks through me to you. It's his word coming to us all. Not just ordinary words. But the Lord is addressing a spiritual problem that has been delayed, deferred, put to the side for long enough. Now the Lord is taking it and putting it front and center. That's the way the Lord deals with us still today. A truth begins to hit home, and it begins to stay there and stick there. We've got to think and give space and time to things that are important. As the years have passed, how many before this one? How many years up till now have we been delaying, obstructing? There were 15 years for the people of Haggai's day. How many for ourselves? But things began to stir. There was beginning a movement, and the Lord was working with them, and the Lord was now bringing this question front and center in their lives. What are you going to do about this spiritual issue? Commitment to the Lord, and the Lord first and foremost. That's the question that Haggai was putting to them. You've been thinking about this and that and other things, and you're saying it's not time, it's not time, it's not time. And the Lord has been bringing it back front and center. And the Lord is speaking to us as he spoke to them. And they obeyed. And they feared the Lord. So therefore, what do we find happened next? What do we find happen next when we move from verse 12 into verse 13? Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message said unto the people, I am with you. The issue that caused the problem has now been resolved. Spiritual focus has been restored in their lives. And now they obey the Lord. And the Lord is giving them that great encouragement and that tremendous assurance. I am with you. There is nothing more delightful to the believer than these words and what they mean. That the Lord is present with his people. That the Lord makes his self-known, demonstrating his love, his grace, his favor to the very ones who now seek to obey him. The very ones who have devoted their lives to him and to his service. We have this set out for us in John 14. Those that obey my word, this is the Lord himself speaking. The Lord says, those that obey my word and love me because they show it in that obedience. What does he say? The Father will come and be with such a person. I am with you. It comes down to that very personal level. It comes down to that very personal spiritual challenge. Delays, obstructions, obstacles that have been there for 15 years. Issues that have been identified, addressed, and overcome. And when it happened with them, the Lord was with them and gave a firm assurance. When it happens with us, the same occurs. The Lord encourages and says, I am with you. We can take it up. We can apply it. I want to close quickly. But look at when Jacob went away looking for a wife. When he fled from home and slept underneath the stars. Genesis 28, there the Lord is coming to him and says, yes, with all the difficulties and the dangers in life, but you've made that commitment. And the Lord says, I'm with you still. Come to Isaiah chapter 43, and he says, when you go through the water and when you go through the fire, and there are real challenges in the Christian's life, in taxing and demanding circumstances, what does the Lord say? Yes, you've made that commitment, and I've given thee a promise, and now he's delivering on it. I'm with you, and the fire and such things will not come and consume you or devour you. In all of the problems of life, in all of the variety of the problems of life, there is, we're told in Psalm 46, The Lord is our very present help in time of need. Every problem of life, the Lord is there to meet us. And he says, I am with you. When we have that testimony of the Lord's presence, be still and know that I am there with you. God is with us. Three different groups identified. Three different windows we look through. The future is unknown. There's work to be done. There's obstacles to be overcome. Each one of us. We're behind that window. Every one of us. Behind one of these windows. No matter what we face then as we go into 2016. This word is surely precious, personal, powerful. It comes to us from God himself this morning. I am with you. Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, we thank thee for the riches of this thy word in our hand, in our head, in our memory, for the way in which we can be reminded of its truth and application to us just where we are today. And as we look and lift our eyes to the year that stretches before us, in the exercise of faith, help us to lay hold upon this truth and clutch it tight to our hearts, to our souls. And Lord, we pray that whatever might come upon us in these days, in the journey ahead, may our minds often come back to these moments we've spent here today, one with the other, but with thyself especially. And may we be reminded of that promise and that undertaking that was given thyself to thine own people, wherever they are, with thee I am. Encourage us then, Lord. Go with us. Provide for us. Bless us. And pardon us the multitude of our sins in thy grace. For all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and at verse 18. The Lord is ever nigh to them that be of broken spirit. To them he safety doth afford that are in heart contrite. The troubles that afflict the just in number many be, but yet at length out of them all the Lord doth set him free. He carefully his bones doth keep, whatever can befall, that not so much as one of them can broken be at all. Ill shall the wicked slay, laid waste shall be who hate the just. The Lord redeems his servants' souls. None perish that him trust. Psalm 34 at 18 to the end. The Lord is ever nigh to them. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father,